Bloody hell.
What's up, Matthew?
It's been a while since we've done a podcast, Tom.
It feels like an age.
I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio staring across at you and you being the old man from Inception and the coin's still spinning on the table.
Have you given away the ending to that film?
No, it's the start.
Oh.
Or is it? Tom Attack. Yeah, this is the bloody start of that
film. Oh, I can't
film.
Remember.
Can you not remember? It's like, you're on a train. A train can
Doesn't
take you.
End like that as well?
Well, yeah.
So...
But that's not the end. That's not the end end. I'm on about the scene where he's opposite the guy. Yeah, as an old man at a table. And he's talking to him. And he's like, you used to be young. Yeah. You need to watch that film again. It's a very good film. I remember when everyone was like, oh my God, Inception.
Yeah,
it was
a
long, long time ago.
I liked it. It was pretty good.
One of my favourite films.
I thought it was pretty good. A bit reminded me of that level on Goldeneye when you're in the snow.
Yeah. It does.
I can't remember the name of it. God, that's bad. I've been playing Goldeneye.
You have?
But not
How was
that one.
Oh, the other one.
The Wii one.
The one with, what's his face? Daniel Radcliffe. No.
He did that on purpose, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he didn't, actually. I've got his fucking name, Daniel Craig.
The one where they've taken out Pierce Brosnan and replaced him with Daniel Craig.
Oh, know, my God. Can you imagine if Daniel Radcliffe became the new James Bond?
It could still happen.
James Bond Jr. Eventually. They could have made that movie. Oh, why didn't they do that? That would have been good.
He chases scum around the world. Remember that?
He does.
Do you hear that the actor who played Jaws has passed away?
The actor who played the shark? That's tragic.
No, actually, that's what I first thought when I was told, but no, sadly.
The actor who played our brace-faced friend in both Moonraker and It's Not Licensed to Kill. What other film is Jaws
Spy Who Loved Me.
It is Spy Who Loved Me, yeah.
Well,
it's been a while since I've seen it.
That's all right. But going back to Goldeneye on the Wii, yeah, it's... plays well. I think it's better than 007 Legends, which I played recently as well.
Yeah?
A little bit more straightforward, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah. 007 Legends was a bit weird from what I played a bit. Ski and shoot things. Well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, the actual shooting bits are good, but the rest of it's a bit...
Isn't that an Olympic sport?
What?
Isn't like skeet shooting where you go downhill on skis and you shoot things? I remember that from an episode of The Simpsons. I'm not actually sure if it's a real thing or not. Monty Burns was like a skeet shooting champion.
I thought skeet was another name for like clay pigeon shooting, wasn't it?
Maybe it is. I'm going to investigate this. Tell us how it is. How is?
I don't know if clay pigeon shooting while skiing is a real sport.
I think that's a thing. Honestly, I do. I think it's one
that
of those...
That sounds really hard to do. It's hard enough as it is. Even on Sonic and Mario at the Olympics. But yeah, I'd recommend... going back to GoldenEye, I'm really happy. I'm getting there. I've nearly finished it. I'd left it for an awful long time.
Yeah,
I've got a couple of missions left to do, but the last hour or so or 2 hours I spent with it were highly enjoyable and great game. Also available on other formats than Wii as well.
I apologise. It's not called skeet shooting. It's called a biathlon, combination of skiing and shooting. Yes.
You don't shoot while you're skiing, though, do you?
You shoot while you're skiing.
So hard to do in 007 Legends.
Biathlon is a winter sport that combines cross-country skiing and rifle shooting.
Wow.
Interesting.
I learned a lot.
You do. See, this is the thing. Sport has its origin in the exercises of the Norwegian people. That's what they do. Don't go to Norway. They'll ski after you and shoot you. Sorry to any Norwegian listeners. It's what I hear from Wikipedia. But... good overall experience then with the old GoldenEye. I heard good things.
Yeah, it's a great game. I enjoyed it. Tom, you've been playing a first-person shooter this week.
Oh, God. Are we going to get into it that early? Yes, I have.
I was going to ask you what you've been playing in that. I just expect you to say one thing.
Well, I've been playing.
But it has been a while since you did a podcast, so maybe yeah. There's been other things.
I went to Hungary, as some of you will know, that's why there was no podcast last week. And there I purchased several Game Boy games. I picked up quite a few rare Game Boy games, one called Fish Dude.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you tell me about this?
Yeah, I showed them to you.
Did
you? Yeah, I got 9 in total, and I paid like less than a tenner for all of them.
Oh.
I got one called Fish Dude, which is a game where you're a fish. It's kind of like Feeding Frenzy. You're a small fish, and you start off, and you eat things, and you slowly become a bigger fish. Until you get to the point where it goes, now you can try hard mode after 10 levels, then you do it all over again. But that is very hard, because there's always a bigger fish. To quote a certain Liam Neeson in Star Wars Episode 1.
There's always a bigger fish.
It's more smug, isn't it? It's always like, there's always a bigger fish. Midichlorians. That's what he said after it. You eat the fish, little fish, but there's always a big fish. And there can only be one big fish on the screen at all times. But they just come in from random corners of the screen, so you can find yourself trying to go over to the next bit of the screen and then just get eaten, which is a bit of a pain in the ass.
It sounds quite unique.
Quite an interesting concept, though. It's a very fun game. Mm. A little bit frustrating.
Fish Dude.
Yes. I got a copy of Rampart, the game I picked up previously on the Sega Master System.
Did you ever play that?
I did not, but the Game Boy game is quite fun.
Okay. Does it make you want to pick up the Master System game?
Yeah, it did. I think it would suit yourself more than a console thing. It's good. No clacks, unfortunately.
Can you get clacks in the Game
Boy? You can get clacks for the Game Boy. I have it on several multi-carts because it's a very small game. I have played it. It's not as good as the Master System version, okay. Which wasn't very good anyways, in my opinion.
Colourful.
It was quite colourful. Not on the Game Boy. Didn't have that redeeming factor, believe it or not. I also got WWF Raw and WWF Warzone because they were boxed Game Boy games and they cost nothing.
No, I do remember.
They were like €2.
Because I commented because I have Raw on the Mega Drive.
You
which
do.
Is quite good on the Mega Drive. So.
I believe the Game Boy wrestling games are quite good. I played Superstars and I quite enjoyed that.
Okay.
Other than that, I got one or two others. I got Quirk, the tomato game that we've previously mentioned.
Game.
Yeah, you play as a tomato called Quirk.
Of course, another game where you play as a tomato.
In a weird thing where you rebranded Puzzle Boy, which is where you play as a potato, which is part of Amazing Tater and Spud's Adventure.
Is there an Attack of the Killer Tomatoes game?
There is on the Game Boy. It's quite obscure, unfortunately. Okay. I haven't got it. There were one or two others. I haven't really touched them. I just bought a load of games because they were very, very cheap. Deleus Opus, I think it's called. It's a puzzle game, which was actually quite fun. Essentially, it's what it is. You get a load of tiles, and you've got to make them fit in a box. But then some of them don't fit, and some of them do. It's one of those...
It's like our podcast. It doesn't fit in the box.
It doesn't fit in the box, man. We break the box, but you can't do that in Deleus Opus. Otherwise, you don't get points.
It's also got a very funny name.
Yeah, it is.
Like our podcast.
Well, we do attack. Okay, you know, like...
We attack your ears.
Yes, with knowledge. We're rambling. I'm just going to say I bought a few Game Boy games. I also got a copy of Mega Games Volume 3, which I haven't touched for the Mega Drive, because it was there and it was cheap.
Yeah, you're not into Mega Drive, though.
I'm not.
I'm surprised, because weren't you going about selling your Mega Drive
I am
games?
Very much debating selling my
and
Mega Drive
And yet you're
games.
Buying more.
Well, I bought it because I thought it was actually the very elusive Mega 6... Like Mega 6-in-1-3. And then I realised that my retro gaming knowledge on the Mega Drive wasn't as good as I thought, and it wasn't.
And what's on it?
I can't even remember. There's a motocross game. There's two shooters as well, one in a helicopter, one as a bloke.
You bought it more because you thought it was obscure?
I bought it more because I thought it was obscure, and it was really cheap, in all fairness. As was Bubble Bobble and Rainbow Island on the Saturn, which I still haven't played, but I had the same game on the PlayStation 1, and I really enjoyed it. I love Bubble Bobble, so I'm happy to play that.
Mm. Great.
Yes.
Nice pickups.
I will reveal the purse person shooter in a moment.
The purse person.
The purse person.
You play as a purse person.
You do. You play as a birth purse.
A birth purse.
A birth
That's
purse.
That's an in-joke.
That is an in-joke. That is the best insult ever.
It came from overhearing a friend say to me, do you want to see my bird purse?
Yes.
Birth purse. Of course, you can use your imagination.
Yes.
We're not that kind of podcast.
We're not crude. So we attack, but in a very gentlemanly way.
And then Matt showed me a picture of a pink Sailor Moon wallet.
That looked like a birth purse, yes.
Anyway, You want me to talk about what else I've been playing this week? Because yes. You want to save what you've been playing. Because it's all obvious to everyone who's listening what big game came out this last week that Matt's probably been playing. And it wasn't... What else came out this week?
No one can stop Mr. Domino 2.
Really?
No. I wish no one could stop Mr. Domino 2 came out.
So we're going back a few weeks now. So it was GoldenEye that I was playing before I left for London, and which was another reason why we didn't have a podcast last weekend. But I was playing Worms Revolution Extreme.
Wow.
Now, this is the PS Vita version of Worms Revolution.
As revolutions go, how extreme is it?
I'm not sure what makes the portable version more extreme than the home version.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in terms of revolution, is it up there with, like, the French Revolution? Did a lot of people die? Or was it more John and Yoko's?
It's a pretty big overhaul for Worms. Of course, you've got the different worm types. You've got the heavy, you've got the brainy, you've got the weak, fast one. Yeah. You can choose to use them or not.
Okay, so you can just play classic Worms.
You can, but... If you want to add this extra level of strategy in and make use of these other worms' abilities, you could form your team like that.
Why would you want to do that? That seems too in-depth a level
of
worms.
If you're playing through the single-player campaign, then your enemy teams you fight against do regularly use these character classes. But I've not found so far the need to change my team to include them.
Seems annoying more than anything. Like,
it's just trying to add something new,
I guess. Well, I guess so. I mean, after all this time...
been repackaged several times.
Yeah.
But what is a really great thing that they introduced in this game? I mean, this game isn't new. Let's just make
this clear. No, of course not. It's the one with Matthew Berry, right?
Quite some time.
Commentating. Yeah. We played that when we first moved to Denmark, so it's almost like 2.5 years old.
Yeah. Now. But the portable version is relatively new, I guess, within the last few months. Anyway, I've been playing it. And there's a cool thing with the water. Water is kind of trapped in some of the scenery, and by destroying the scenery you can unleash the water, and you can use the water to either drown worms or to use them like a sort of like a tidal wave
to wash worms away.
Wash them away.
Yeah, it's very nice fluid mechanics on the water.
Also, telekinesis lets you lift certain objects.
It does, because there are large objects placed around the game world.
You can move around, and also objects can explode in different ways. This is an oil can, it might explode, or it was a water bottle, it will explode into water.
There's a fish that poisoned
And the poison, so you remember all these
things,
don't
you?
Yeah,
I do.
So these little things do add something extra to the gameplay. At its heart, though, it is core worms. And it plays like you expect it would, really. The aesthetic is different. I'm not sure if I'm 100% sold on it, to be honest. I like the 2D worms. I think they have a lot of character. And you can't get that across as well in this one, when they're rendered in 3D, I don't think.
That's a bit of a shame.
Because also, I played Worms 2 Armageddon on the Xbox, so the second downloadable Worms game for Xbox 360. And that just felt so familiar,
but
straight away.
Is that your nostalgia?
Well, that's because I played a lot of Worms Armageddon.
Yeah,
on the
PC, did I. That's what I'm saying.
Which is great, you know. And that is how I remember it. Worms Revolution is essentially the same thing, but it's just tweaked so slightly that it feels a little off. But it's fine, and it does, as I say, add new things in. So it's been a fun one to play through.
So more Vito the Revolution rather than Viva the Revolution.
Oh, very good, Matthew. You've been thinking of that one all the way through me.
No, I haven't, actually. But I was just like, Viva the Revolution or Vito?
Playing Worms 2 Armageddon especially reminded me why I consider Worms to be one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's one of my all-time favourites. It is at a time when I'm not wanting so many fast-paced games.
In contrast to myself.
Yeah. I like to, you know, being turn-based, slightly slow, strategic, but also this real satisfaction with throwing a grenade, getting that aim, getting that power behind it. Same with the bazooka, using the wind and such. I'm not generally a fan of strategy games, especially real-time strategy and all that. But Worms is a different can of worms.
Yeah,
isn't it? And it is classic. It is, I think, one of the all-time greats. And I was playing with our friend Austin a couple of weeks ago now. And I have to say, really good time, and made me want to start playing Worms again.
Yeah, well,
more.
Is it on your list of games that you want to own on every system? Is it that?
Do I need to own on every system?
Well, I think you've got a few games that you consider must owns, right? I'm sure we've talked about this before.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite happy as it was playing Worms Armageddon on my PC for many years until I started playing on my PC a lot less.
Yeah.
It got old, replaced it with a Mac and so on and so forth. And then I never thought the console versions really captured it as well.
Interesting.
I tried Worms, original Worms, on the Mega Drive and not so good.
No.
But Worms Armageddon on the Dreamcast was okay. Yeah, it was fine. A few little niggles. I think the Xbox downloadable version is the most fun I've had next to the PC.
I would strongly recommend you check out the PlayStation 1 version. Because that is where
we played Worms Armageddon on PS1 when we lived in Billund.
Yeah.
When we first moved to Denmark. And that was the same as the Dreamcast one, pretty much.
Do you reckon? Because I remember playing it on the PC. And that's what I used to do when I was in college. Stream breaks, we'd play Worms on a laptop.
Yeah.
And I thought it was all right. I much preferred the controller. I don't know. I guess it's my history of Worms.
Really?
But I've always played Worms with the controller.
I guess I started with the original Worms on PC and then moved to Armageddon. And just to be able to use a mouse to go around the screen and keyboard. I guess it's just what I was...
It's preference, yeah.
Yeah, but you say you started on PC as well, but you prefer the console.
Yeah, I prefer the console.
Mm, interesting.
My brother used to play it on... was it on Amiga or did he play it on Mega Drive? Because I know there's a Super Nintendo version as well, but I don't think we never had that because...
I've never seen the Super Nintendo version.
There's a Game Boy version, I know. So maybe there's a Nintendo version on the Super Nintendo or something.
That's got to be bad, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I would imagine so.
You're going to get it?
No. Well, I'll get it for the Game Boy, yeah. But it'd be interesting to see.
I wonder if there's a Worms 2 on Game Boy.
No, it's just Worms. Maybe on the colour. Who knows?
Yeah, there is one on colour.
Yeah?
I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Armageddon, I think.
Really?
Oof. Maybe.
But that plays rough.
Well, we'll see. Maybe one day. So, as far as games I've been playing, there's only been one other game.
Really?
I think.
Other than the usual Mario Kart, Soul Calibur, Dead Space.
Yeah, that we talk about most weeks. I never get tired of Mario Kart 8. Legend of Zelda.
Oh, really?
The original Legend of Zelda. I was
really?
Persuaded by the eShop's current offer.
Tantalizing discounts.
With so many days of Zelda up until the release of Hyrule Warriors.
Did the Wii U show you its naughty, naughty prices? And was like, come on, big boy, have some Zelda.
Well, funny enough...
I
never planned on rebuying this because I have it on the GameCube collection.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very convenient to have it on the Wii U. That's basically why I purchased it. And it was £2 something. And I like being able to sit on that sofa in front of that nice TV and play a game quickly and easily. And at the discount price, I'd be more inclined to do that than to go over to the other side of the room.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever.
I think it does. It's nice to have it on the Wii U.
I would say, okay, maybe Onez is a bit temperamental.
Also, we don't own it on there, so we'd have to borrow it.
Yeah,
well.
But our good friend Austin has one, and you've actually borrowed
actually
the map.
And Zelda disc isn't even here that I've got for GameCube.
Mine is, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Austin let us borrow the map and all. I was arguing advantages of playing it on the Wii U where you get save states.
Yes.
I don't think, as I was explaining to Austin, the game's not too punishing.
No,
really, in terms of how it saves, because you never lose all your items, you just go back to the starting point.
Yeah.
But what was really grabbing me about this game was at first I was unsure.
You were.
But I got an amazing degree of satisfaction from exploring and finding things.
Yeah. You've played Link's Awakening, right?
On the Game Boy?
Yes.
Yes, I like that.
Because that is, in my opinion, next to Wind Waker, at least, I very much like Link's Awakening. I love Wind Waker, though. I can't really say a favourite Zelda because I love both of them.
Yeah, this one was incredibly simple.
It is.
Though, and refreshing in its simplicity. I feel. And it's amazing the depth to what is essentially a rather simple game.
That's why I've been playing Game Boy games, because there's no faffing around. Like, admittedly, you did have to borrow a manual because you didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I definitely recommend using a map, though.
Yes.
And the amount of information contained within the game's manual and map are, I think, incredibly important for Zelda.
Yes.
And it's a sin that Nintendo don't release the manual with the downloadable game.
Well, I thought they did, which hit me by surprise.
Usually, I thought they do. Maybe I'm not pressing the right button, but I can't find it. And it's just a case of Nintendo, if they put a little bit more effort into re-releasing their games instead of doing a straight re-release, which is fine in a lot of cases.
Yeah, but this is
a game like this. Austin was saying, wouldn't it be great if on the bottom screen you have the map?
Yeah.
You could tick off the areas you've been to.
Yes.
You could basically plan your journey and draw your own maps for the dungeons on the gamepad.
Yeah.
That would be a special edition re-release of Legend of Zelda.
But that would involve time and
But that money. Would involve time, and it seems Nintendo just want to get them out there and get people to pay for
it. Of course they do. It
again.
Yes.
Like me.
Every time they make a new console.
But the game still holds up very well today, and it's a genre that I'm not particularly fond of, and yet still I'm getting this immense satisfaction from playing Legend of Zelda.
There's a reason that it is considered a classic and one of the greatest games of all time.
Is the original considered that?
Yes.
Highly regarded that?
Yes. Hmm. Hence why...
Because people obviously talk a lot about Link to the
Past. Legend of Zelda 2... Link's Adventure is not considered so highly because everyone wanted another Legend of Zelda and they were like, here's an action platformer.
And it's different, but from what I've heard from people, you know, some people really like that game as well.
It's a good game. I don't get the hate towards it. It's just because I guess people who grew up with it were expecting another Legend of Zelda and then what they got was a completely different game.
Mm.
See, Nintendo's problems kind of go back all the way to Legend of Zelda.
That they want to innovate and try something new.
Because they want to innovate and try something new, and then everyone gets really pissed off for them and goes, no, don't do that, do the same thing over again.
Let's just keep releasing Smash Brothers games.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Smash demo's out.
It's not out to everyone yet.
No, this is true.
It's out to a select few who've got this download code, however they managed to obtain it. It's out 19th officially, September, for free download on the eShop.
Yes.
And... I'm curious to play it. I'm not a huge fan of the series. But I'm curious to see how it holds up and how it plays on a small screen.
Yes, likewise.
The original DS I'm talking about. I've heard from Blast Processor Dave's review over at blastprocess.com that it is slightly fiddly on the smaller screen. And the game is... There's been reports it's better on the XL.
From the sounds of things, it's better on the new one.
Even better than the new one, because you can use the C-stick.
You can use the C-stick, but apparently the new one, there are a lot of problems when trying to open the Miiverse and Smash.
Really?
On
I didn't hear this.
On the old consoles, even the XL.
Hmm.
So much so that people are kind of complaining that Nintendo have got this. They're going to have this double standard going forward.
Oh,
that the new console is far superior
to
the old
because
one.
People are worried about this, especially when they announce releasing games only on the new 3DS, which is something we haven't covered on the podcast.
Which is bullshit.
But for those in the know, I'm sure the listeners to this podcast will have heard that Nintendo are releasing a new 3DS.
Yes.
With more... it's got more RAM. It's got a slightly faster processor or something.
Yes,
like
it
that,
is.
Which interests me. That means it can run things that the other one can't.
Essentially, it is kind of the upgrade from the Game Boy to the Game Boy Color.
Mm.
In that,
yes.
Now it has more functionality and has more RAM and stuff.
Yeah.
However, they are not calling it a different console because I don't think they want to launch a new console.
No.
But it is slight upgrades that will make the gaming experience better for people. However, I'm kind of annoyed by the fact they're just like, oh, well, yeah, it's got all these faster things and game publishers can take advantage of that. So there's going to be optimized versions of games now.
All games are exclusive to that
system. All games are exclusive to that system. And it's like, so you're telling me I need to now buy another 3DS?
If you want to play specific games, the problem will arise if any kind of high-profile Nintendo releases.
I don't think they can. I think they will have to always be optimized.
Mm.
But
what's it? It's Xeno Saga, the... re-release of Xeno Saga, Xeno Blade No, Xenoblade Chronicles, yes. Is it? Sorry. I'm not so familiar with the series, but that's exclusively for new 3DS. And is it the first of many, or is it going to be one of these few games that are exclusive
fucking hope
for
not.
It?
For
you
sake.
Hope that it's not a trend?
Yes. Yeah. I hope, as much as I like Xenoblade Chronicles, that it falls in its ass. Because I do not want to buy another 3DS. I've had to buy... Well, I didn't have
didn't
to,
have
but
to
I chose to buy an American 3DS because of their nonsensical practices with region locking, which actually doesn't... is quite surprised that I've not been sued over this yet. Because they were taken to court in 2010 for essentially unfairly pricing the market. In the fact that their games are significantly cheaper in the US compared to anywhere else. And also because they were locking in things like a German release was a lot more expensive than a British one, for example. British is apparently the cheapest place to buy Nintendo games in Europe, in Sweden, Denmark, etc., as we've seen ourselves. Mm. Nintendo games were, at a point, much more expensive. Like, it cost like 70, 80 euro to buy Nintendo games in Germany up to a few years ago. Like, substantially overpriced in Northern Europe. And so they were taking the court over it, and then as a result of that, they were forced to level their prices out, so they were all around the same price, give or take, you know, like 50 krona here or there, 1 euro here or there. And essentially, I see this as the same thing. Like, the fact that they are not giving people an option to play American games is essentially them saying, we don't want you going to America and buying your games for cheaper than the market price in your local region, so fuck you.
But you say, but that happens on a lot of consoles.
It does.
But you're saying because Nintendo's games are so expensive.
Yes. Nintendo's games tend to be kept, and as Nintendo admit themselves, like I've heard Reggie talk about it a few times, they know their games maintain value because hardly anyone trades them in. Like, look at us. We have many copies of, like, Smash and Mario Kart and stuff because we tend to keep Nintendo games because it is a seal of quality that it is a Nintendo title for the most part. And it really annoys me. And, like, I've explained it on the podcast before. The reason they have region locking on this system is because of the eShop. Because everything is bound to the console, so they have to have a region lock for you to access the online stores.
But you think it should only affect the online store?
But I think it should only affect the online store. Theoretically speaking, it is up to the publisher whether or not they want their 3DS card to be region locked. But all of them are by default. You have to actually write to Nintendo, from what I understand, and say, hey, we don't want this
but
game
But are there
region-locked.
Any games that exist which are...
Not to my knowledge, maybe one or two. But it's a bit of a bollock, to be honest with you. The only game that is truly 100% region-free, I believe, is the 3D Tour of the Louvre.
Okay. Right. Yep.
Because, obviously, you're going to get visitors from all over the world. How the fuck do you sell them a game if they've got to have a certain region?
Yeah. But your major reason for buying one was to get games earlier.
My major reason for buying one was to play games that... And... In the case
Maybe
of Shin Megami Tensei, haven't still been released in Europe. There is no date for Shin Megami Tensei 4 in Europe.
Yeah.
Came out in the US now a year and a half ago. Etrian Odyssey 4 took a year and a half to come to Europe. Etrian Odyssey Millennium Girl still isn't out in Europe, which came out 2 years ago.
It was true for the original DS as well. There were games like Trauma Center 2, which never got a release outside of the States and Japan. Never got a European release. But obviously back then on the DS you could just import it and play
exactly.
on your existing console. You didn't have to buy a new one. So yeah, rather infuriating for the gamer, the gamer who was heavily into
incredibly frustrating. So I mean, like,
for your average guy,
guy's not gonna go, like, you may look on eBay and go like, okay, I can buy this game cheaper, but like, they're not going to actively seek out games that were never released in Europe for the most part. They're just going to go, okay, Mario's slightly cheaper and buy it. Which is now an issue for people, which is going to piss them off because they're going to buy games and they're not going to be able to play them. It just frustrates me. Like,
The region locking thing's always a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
It's
especially
something we've had to deal with as gamers for a very long time. It's been refreshing for the PS3 not to be region locked.
PS4 isn't, Xbox One isn't. region
the Xbox 360 was on some games, but not on other games.
That was a thing where it was up to the publisher to decide.
Yeah.
So most of your major releases didn't.
I found a very handy website with, I think it's PlayAsia actually, has a list of everything and how compatible it is with the different...
Various consoles, yeah.
Region consoles, yeah.
A lot of the games by Cave the Shumps weren't region locked to begin with because they were like, well, of course people in the West want to buy them. And then publishers were like, of course people in the West want to buy them. We want to distribute them. Ha ha ha, region lock. And that's what happened.
But this is another debate. We were talking about Smash Brothers.
I'll be interested to play it.
Yeah, but we're not going to run out and try and find a download code for it.
No, we're not. We're not going to pay money for the 4 download codes you need. Apparently it's 4 download codes.
Is it?
Yeah, you need 4 codes. I don't know why.
Mm. But the interesting and quite scary news is the beating that the circle pad takes from playing this game.
Yes, it takes a literal smashing from people playing with the circle pad, which is a bit weird because you would have thought, hey... maybe we should test this game on actual hardware first. Oh, the buttons are breaking. Ah, that won't happen with actual
part of
people.
Me says it can't be that bad, but perhaps it is from the fact there's been so many reports.
I would imagine Nintendo tests these things in a bubble. Like, you know, I don't imagine like hundreds of people who play Smash Brothers have been brought in to say, like, hey, what do you like about this? What do you like? Because Nintendo and like Apple in that regard would be like, yeah, we make a game, we make the best games in the world. Here you go. I don't think there's extensive play in, like, of these things. So, I mean, like, Mario Kart is a prime example. Like, the whole replay the race rather than the
I just always saw that as Nintendo wanting to push forward the replay thing.
I just didn't think they'd think about it. I think maybe they were like, hey, everyone's going to want to check out their replays. Why not put it there? It's just bad design.
Changed it. It's kind of like... how you see GameCube controllers get a beating from playing Smash, you know?
Yes.
And if they can, which I assume they're a little bit more durable than the little circle pad on the 3DS.
Yeah, then people are just going to transition 3DS.
So it's going to happen if you play this game a lot that perhaps, you can destroy a 3DS in the process.
Yep. Probably going to happen.
Not me.
Not me.
If I do play it, I'm not going to play that much. I don't think, unless I suddenly fall in love with Smash Brothers.
I want to play the dog from Duck Hunt, but that involves hours to unlock that I don't
Does
think
really?
I have the time or patience for.
Well, we'll surely have a go on it when it comes out, and we'll give you our definitive verdict.
Expert opinion.
Which is probably going to be, it's Smash Brothers.
Exactly, and then we'll get our friend Austin, who loves
who'll,
that game
be able to
more than life itself.
All
to
the
go.
Intricacies of the slight... changes within the
game. Maybe we can even
we
have him
notice.
On and just be like, hey, what do you think of this game? And he'd be like,
we
oh.
can't give a well-educated opinion.
We cannot. A game I can give a well-educated opinion on, however, and one that I have a lot of time for to put in, is a little first-person shooter released by a very small American indie company. I think they're American. Called Bungle?
Bungle. Bonsai? You think they would have got that far with a name like Bungle? Actually, probably, because Bungie is pretty... giving the game away.
Oh, that's what they call Bungie. Oh, yeah.
Bungie.
Well, they made a few little first-person shooters. One called Marathon back in the day for the old Apple computer. Not really done a lot since. They apparently
this one called Halo.
Made a little game called Halo.
And a few sequels.
A few sequels, sold relatively well, from what I understand, you know, pittance by today's standards, but quite well.
And then,
so they got bought, or they at least got acquisitioned by a company called Activision, who are a little publisher. You know, they publish.
Oh yeah, yeah. Very small scale.
Very small games like World of Warcraft and Call of Duty, and at one point Guitar Hero.
Yes.
And they get by, it seems.
It would seem that they get by, indeed.
It would, yeah. You know, I bet they're all walking around the office in gold-plated armour just because they can, because they have that much money from World of Warcraft subscriptions and Call of Duty DLC that they can just be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw a load of money out the window into a fire. Why are you going to do that, Fred? Because I can! But they made a game called Destiny.
Yeah, I wonder when you're going to get around to
Sorry, I went off on a bit of a tangent there. Yeah, I've been playing Destiny pretty much every hour I can fit into it because...
And he's not lying.
It's been a busy week. Tuesday, we went to support our good friend do a lecture somewhere near here. On Wednesday, I went to watch a band called Movits from Sweden, Swedish hip-hop. Check them out. They're actually quite good. Thursday night, I spent the evening at my girlfriend's and I tried to play it a little bit through remote play, much to my
desperate as you were to play it.
Well, like, by that point, I played like an hour. Like, I'd managed...
Oh, do I have to go to this philosophy lecture? Oh, do I have to watch this band that my girlfriend
wants to see? No. It wasn't like that.
I just want to play
I
Destiny.
Went to support our friend and I was like, well, I got to have a go at it. I got to see what all the fuss is about. Like, I played it in the beta and I said I enjoyed it, but I was like, well, I want to see the actual game. So I did for about half hour. Then I went to bed. Wednesday night, I played for about half an hour just to add a few friends and then have a little chat with them who were already like level 15 by this point. And I was like, oh dear, this level
thing,
cap's not going to be very high.
Leveling.
And then I finally sat down with it Friday evening and I spent a vast majority of the evening until like 4 a.m. in the morning.
No, seriously. I thought you went to bed earlier than that.
Nope.
We live in the same house. So
we do.
And I didn't notice. I thought you'd...
I was awake until 4 a.m. in the morning. Actually, really? So much so that I text my girlfriend, like, right, I'm finally gone to bed.
Friday.
Good night. And she was like, oh, thank you for that. I'm actually up now because I'm going to work because she's a stewardess and she works incredibly early on flights. Yeah, we actually said good night as she was getting up.
I don't know how you do it.
Honestly, like, I've not been this gripped by a game for a very long time.
It's got this leveling up thing, hasn't it?
It does, which is like crack to
encouraging
me because I
you,
like RPGs. I also, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure I've talked about my dark seedy past with World of Warcraft. When I played World of Warcraft, I was a member of a guild on a server called Laughing Skull. The guild shall remain nameless because I still believe they still raid. And I had
Still what?
They still raid.
Okay.
Which is when a group of you get together and decide, hey, we're going to kill a load of big monsters.
Yeah.
And which is something you can do in Destiny. I can't fucking wait. And
like Monster Hunter.
I raided quite regularly.
Like, I was a frequent raider.
I was a frequent raider. Like two or three times a week, I would sit down and raid at one point.
Yeah. And you had to go through Raiders Anonymous after
I,
this experience.
Yes, I raided the Lost Ark as well on several occasions.
Right.
It wasn't very lost. It was just misplaced, rather. Mm-hmm. And I got a Hunter, which was the second best geared scored Hunter on the server. And then I was like, okay, I think it's time to stop playing World of Warcraft now because I did very well and, like, admittedly, I was playing it in, like, summer vacation from uni. All friends from uni had gone back home. Most friends from back home had moved away and gone to uni in respective other places as well. So, short of meeting up with a few friends who were still left, who by this point had full-time jobs and families in some cases... Yeah. I was just playing World of Warcraft in my summer vacation.
Anything like that South Park episode?
No.
You didn't shit.
No, I did shit.
In your seat.
I was also actively running and doing other things and actually exercising.
Because there's a scene, isn't it, where Cartman's mother comes down
with a bucket.
With a bucket.
Yeah, and he has to shit in the bucket. No, I did play a lot. I started to get a bit depressed by it because it got to a point where I had this really high gear score and then I was still playing it to make sure I maintained this very high gear score because I was part of this big community of 25 people who were doing what they considered heroic raids because you have a regular raid, which is level 18, you have to have lots of special gear. Mm. But then you have to complete those raids to go into the heroic raids, which are the very fucking hard ones.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, it took a lot of time and effort, and I would have to spend hours before the raid, like, mining resources and
was
doing all
fun?
Other stuff. It was. It was a great, like,
you felt
a
like you were always achieving
great,
something.
Great sense of accomplishment with World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I dare say that is why it's so addictive, because you're always chasing a carrot. there's no...
You never get the carrot.
There's no end, because there's so much to do. Azeroth is such a well-made world. There are so many things to do in that game that it's mind-boggling, because you can just spend hours just faffing around trying to find this rare creature that'll give you, like, a rare thing that you sit on that is no different from the regular mount you can get, other than it looks cool.
Yeah.
And it's all about bragging rights, and people sit around in the middle of the town on their mounts and like, look at me, I have this very rare mount I've wasted a lot of time trying to find.
My only comparable experience would be Pokemon for myself.
Yeah.
But I never got into this
But imagine Pokemon, like the level of satisfaction from Pokemon dialed up about 100 notches. It is an amazing experience to be part of a raiding team. And like, especially like, we killed a few things that we were the first to kill on our server, and so like fireworks went off in the town, and it would say the name of our guild and shit.
Yeah.
It's incredible, because then people know who your guild is and stuff, and then like, people try and recruit you, like you're trying to headhunt for a job and all this kind of crazy nonsense when you get really into it.
Okay.
And yeah, as a result of that, I gave up. And then I went back when they released the Cataclysm expansion. But fortunately, I played a hunter, and they fucked hunters up, in my opinion. They made them different to how they were. Mm. And I couldn't play it, because it was a completely different
style. Oh, so that was
game.
A blessing in disguise.
It was a blessing in disguise. Because I'd gone off it anyway. I got tired of the fact that I was always chasing a dangling carrot.
Ah, you realised.
I realised what was happening, and it broke the game experience for me so much so that I just had to quit the game. I also then... Like I said, when I went back to it, they'd completely killed it anyway. So even the prospect of playing again with uni mates, which is what it was when it originally started, went away. However, Destiny.
Getting back to Destiny, and it has some parallels with
it does.
World of Warcraft.
It is an MMO. Like, I don't care what Bungie say. Like, Bungie are very clearly stipulating, because of the stigma games like World of Warcraft have, that this isn't an MMO, honest, and it clearly is. It's more than an MMO, though. It's a very well-rounded shooter. And I think that's a very, very important point to stress home, because I've been reading some reviews of Destiny, and they've just kind of been like, well, story's shit. It doesn't really do online that great as Halo. Wah, wah, wah. And
Wine.
It's trying to be something different. It's not... There is a single-player story, and yes, when you have someone such as Peter Dinklage, i.e. one of the characters from Game of Thrones for you, Tyrion, for those of you who watched the show, or as I'm sure you're aware, you do expect a certain level of storytelling, but it's the Bungie level of storytelling. Like, you know, it's all very disjointed and not that great, to be honest with you. Like, as much as I like the Halo lore and stuff, it's not a novel. It isn't as good as... comparable,
but the Halo novels
sci-fi
are
epics.
Meant to be quite
no
good.
But that's what I'm saying, it's not a novel.
Yeah,
like the writing isn't amazing. Like, you just get weird things like Gravemind going, I am the death of all your sins, and all this cheesy nonsense. But it's good, it's part of the world. Like, you buy into it when you play Halo, that you are the Master Chief, that
you
are this kick-ass guy.
How 343 handled the story element, do you think they improved upon what
I think they
Bungie
kind
had
of
created
it up?
Oh, okay. So, because my impression of Halo 4 is that the narrative was a little bit more expanded upon, and Master Chief was more fleshed out. There was more, you could connect the character more.
Right. My argument here is that Master Chief is a very 2000s first-person shooter character.
A very two-dimensional character, would you say?
He is, definitely. Yeah. But that's the point. He's meant to be an avatar. He's meant to be... a facilitator for the player, that he doesn't have much character. He says what he needs to say. So,
well, he always had been up to the point in 4.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
Did they manage to flesh him out in 4?
No,
all?
Because they fucked it up. That's not the point of Master Chief. Master Chief is supposed to be so little boys and grown men can
Link,
I'm beating the fucking
Zelda.
Covenant. Yeah, he's an avatar.
Yeah.
Like Gordon Freeman in Half-Life. Yeah. You are aware who Gordon Freeman is. You interact with people who know who Gordon Freeman is and know him as a friend. Mm. Gordon Freeman never speaks. Mm. Gordon Freeman doesn't need to speak. Gordon Freeman is just you. You are Gordon Freeman.
Yeah. Master Chief didn't need to speak.
Master Chief, you are Master Chief.
Yeah.
And by giving him a character and doing this weird fucking AI love story convoluted thing with Cortana...
Maybe takes you out of it.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah.
And then to top that off, because Halo 3 ends beautifully. Halo 3's ending is essentially Master Chief going to sleep. And because of all the other stuff they did in that game with the monitor type things, I forgot what they're bloody called, the computer systems in the game you can find when you're playing through Legendary.
Oh, right, yeah. I think I know what you...
The terminals. There's terminals hidden around the game, and they hint at another AI, and they kind of flesh out the Guilty Spark storyline and stuff. But they're also very reminiscent of Bungie's Marathon, which is a game I previously mentioned. And based upon the end of that game and how things go around and how Cortana refers to you in that end cutscene, it's long thought that Master Chief is actually the protagonist of Marathon.
Okay.
And that game is very much about AI and stuff, and Cortana came off of the back of the AIs of Marathon and stuff. So people were strongly believing, because of how Halo 3 ended, that Bungie were kind of secretly saying, like, you can make your own mind up about it, but it strongly hinted that he was the guy from Marathon.
And Bungie didn't want to make another
Halo. Didn't want to make another Halo game.
No.
They wanted to get rid of it. They made Reach, which in my opinion is the pinnacle of Halo.
They didn't need to continue the Master Chief story in that game.
They did not. And this is what 343 now realise. However, after playing, what is Firefight called in Halo 4?
Some online co-op campaign thing.
Where you're mindless marines and it just feels like Call of Duty to me. Like, they are characters I have no interest in because they're characters who weren't introduced at all throughout anything. And they're just there. Like, they're just like, hey, yeah, we're marines! And like, there's nothing less interesting in the marines in Halo. Like, yeah, sometimes they have very funny lines, but like, the Halo Marines are a parody of Marines in other games to me. And making them a lead character is clearly missing the point.
So Halo's been dragged out further than it needs to be. I'd always had that impression when Microsoft announced Halo 4 and they're continuing to do Halo games, because it's a big brand that sells lots.
Yeah, of course, and it's going to sell millions still. Like, our friends are going to buy Xbox Ones because they want to play the Master Chief Collection.
They want to play the old ones all over again.
It's just like, God damn it. Like, Halo 2, yes, is a very good game. Halo 2 is a good game because of its multiplayer, which isn't even going to be in it. There's going to be selected maps. And that can go fuck itself, because who wants to play selected maps? If you're going to give me Halo 2, give me Halo 2.
I thought they'd given you as it was. No?
Selected maps from the all of the Halo games.
All right. Fair enough.
Reach is not included, neither is ODST either.
I know, yeah.
Which is...
it's a Master Chief.
Yeah, exactly. Collection. And who gives a shit, because ODST, in my opinion, is the best Halo game, which I've said countless times.
Yeah. Anyway, we've gone...
we have gone off on a bit of a tangent.
Now, Bungie didn't want to do any more Halo.
However,
they wanted to do a new game.
No, I was going to segue.
Okay, sorry.
Because if you play ODST, which is something that was not discovered until actually very quite recently... There is a poster in ODST. You go into like a locker room to pick up a gun, and you look at the wall, and it says, "Coming soon, Destiny awaits."
Oh, really?
And there is a picture of the Earth and a little white orb above the Earth. I saw it, and I was like, oh my
God. It's like Bungie were itching to break away from Halo and do something new.
And it makes perfect sense. And that's why Reach ends like it does, and why everything ends.
And here we are. Did ODST stand for Dirty... Dirty Smelly T-shirt? That was it. Dirty Smelly Smelly T-shirt.
Can't remember what it... I know it's Orbital Drop Shock Troops, I think.
Okay.
Or Troopers, yeah.
One day I'll play it.
Anyway, you should. It's really good. It's like a film noir. Yeah. It's fucking awesome. Well, the storytelling in Halo ODST is very good.
So it might grab me more than Halo 3 did. After playing Reach, I went back and played a bit of Halo 3 and thought, oh, this is a bit like Reach, and I grew tired of it.
Yes. It's a very different form of storytelling. Okay. ODST is very good.
But now, Destiny.
Yes, Destiny. So they released Destiny, and it has a campaign. You can call it a campaign. There are story missions. And the aim of the story missions is to get you from level 1 to level 20. And that is all it is. Like, it introduces you to different races, it gives you kind of like the myths of the world and how this mankind entered kind of an age of enlightenment through a being they found on Mars called the Traveller. And the Traveller is kind of like this ancient space wizard dude. I hope to God, if they ever do really reveal him, that he looks like David Bowie.
And voiced by David Bowie, because it wouldn't be the only rock music connection.
No, it would not. And so this guy came and he made everything amazing. And then this thing called the Darkness came and pretty much killed everyone on Earth and tried to wipe out mankind and everything else. And trying to wipe out mankind and everything else. And when he came, and a Traveller, he beat up a Traveller. He's a bloody travelling folk. He's got a caravan and everything. So they almost killed the Traveller, and he went into hibernation. And as a result of this, the Darkness is returning, and so Dead Guardians, which is what the player plays as. Dead Guardians. You start the game dead.
Oh.
You are revived. You create your character. And then, like,
Rise Guilty from the Dead.
Guilty Spark 2.0, known as Your Ghost, who is voiced by Peter Dinklage, tells you, like, hey, I know you've been dead a while. A lot of things have changed. Just trust me, you've got to fucking go now.
You've got to find the Gaylord.
You've got to find the Gaylord. God, there's a mission where it asks for the Gatelord, and it just sounds like Gaylord time.
The way he says Gatelord does sound awful like a Gaylord.
Because it's got this weird Vocaloid synthesizer over it. I'm not trying to be funny. It just sounds very weird.
It does. It sounds like...
There was a room of four of us at the time. And we were just laughing because it just sounds ridiculous. Not to take away from the story.
No.
But actually, to take away from the story. The story isn't great. I will say that. I will wholeheartedly say that the campaign isn't great. So much so that I haven't even been asked to finish it.
No.
Because there's long, convoluted cutscenes that are explaining the lore and stuff.
And you can't skip them.
You can't skip them, which is very annoying. Especially
you don't care very much for the story at all.
Well, like I don't mind the story. Like I got very involved in the lore of World of Warcraft and the stories of what's going on. I think it could have been done a bit smarter.
Okay.
I think it needs to be the way it is because people want a solo campaign. Mm. But I think it could have been done in a much smarter way with shorter cutscenes, more maybe talking over the play, and then you can take it in if you wanted to and leave it if you didn't. That being said, Bungie have kind of come out and said, like, hey, we don't really want you to review this game to reviewers on the Monday when they got it because it came out on the Tuesday. Said, hey, we don't really want you to review this the day it comes out. Like, we lift the embargo on Tuesday when everyone can play it. Not because we don't believe in the game, but we don't believe if you play just, like, a couple of hours that you're going to understand the concept of this game. That's because it is an MMO, and it is all about endgame content, as is something like World of Warcraft. Like, the getting to level 20 in this game doesn't really take a lot of effort. It either means you need to complete the story, or you need to play a lot of multiplayer, which becomes unlockable level 5, and do some quests and stuff. Quests themselves aren't that interesting. They're called bounties, and they involve you doing certain things, and there's little missions you can pick up which give you bonus XP and stuff. Mm. They're not that interesting. They are your stereotypical, go here, kill these guys, collect these things quests you will find in every MMO.
Mm.
Except maybe World of Warcraft now, because they realized after 10 years, hey, this is a bit boring. But it is, at its essence, like, basic fetch quests, basic go here, do this, activate this person, defend this point. And I could see why that will become a bit tiring. But this is the start of the game. Like, Bungie have got a 10-year plan for this game.
Mm-hmm.
They are unlocking the first raid tomorrow, I believe. And
unlocking the first raid?
Yeah, there is a raid, as I previously mentioned. You need to gather a load of your friends together. So
giving you a new thing to do which you couldn't do previously.
Yes, but the time up until then has been, hey, no one's going to be able to play the first raid for the first week anyway, because it's all about getting to level 20. And then much in something like World of Warcraft, it becomes a grind to get good gear.
Mm.
You need to get gear, which is armor enough, attack enough and stuff so you can go into the thing. However, I actually believe Bungie does this very, very cleverly in this game. Because in World of Warcraft, you had to go into, you had to get to level 80 first. then you had to go into heroic dungeons, they referred to, and get heroic gear. Which, to someone who doesn't play MMOs, as I would imagine a lot of the Destiny audience probably don't, it is a first-person shooter. They are coming off the back of Halo, which is very bro-centric. You need to have better gear to stand a chance in raids. Now, they could have just said, hey, you just really need better gear. But then how the hell are you like, well, am I going to look at my stats? Am I going to do what? So they included a stat on the top level gear called light. And it means once you hit level 20, every blue item that drops will contain light. Light is essentially the means then which you level up further. Based on your light rating, and at the moment my armor tends to have like 5 light on it and I can upgrade it for a further piece of light later on. I need to have 20 light to hit level 21, which I've just done. This light rating then is essentially making your gear score better, which means you can take on harder enemies because you have more defense, more attack, and all this kind of stuff. And it's actually, there are levels past 20, but it's all based on your gear score. And when you use this gear score, then you can get into the raid. You need to be level 26. Interesting as well, there's no matchmaking for the raids. You need to do it with friends because it involves such a high level of cooperation, Bungie is saying, that you will need 6 people who you can talk to and who you know and who you can play with. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Multiplayer is good. Admittedly, it is a bit disappointing that there are no lobbies. I cannot get you. Like, you were very disappointed to see that there was no split screen co-op, but that isn't a thing in this. This is very character driven, it's very story.
As you tried to explain to me.
Yeah, like,
and I was saying, why can't you have a generic character?
Yeah, but it's not like Reach. It's not like you can just go into this thing and you say like, hey, yeah, great, I'm gonna go this guy. Like, you need to put time and effort into it. Like, you need,
but could they now have just a basic shell of a multiplayer game that you could play?
They could. I believe
without all the added layers. You know, just straightforward deathmatch. But that's not what the game's about. No,
they could have that. But I think they are much aware that this thing is available elsewhere. They are trying to strive for something different.
Yeah, that is true. You know, you can still play Call of Duty split screen.
Still play Halo.
You?
Like, I mean,
Halo split screen.
In all fairness, like, the game at its core is just a more competent version of Halo in its shooting. Like,
yes. It's more competent than Halo. It actually improves on.
I would say so. Halo. Like, for the first time in a long, long time since I played Halo 2, look at this multiplayer, and with this character customization and how you can spec. Right, I should say, there are 3 races of character. One of them's called an Exo, which is a robot. One of them's a human. And one of them is called a Woken, which is kind of like a ghosty Night Delphi type, for those of you familiar with World of Warcraft. The race themselves don't actually matter. They are purely aesthetic. It's purely the character you want to play.
It's the abilities.
However, there are 3 classes of character at this moment in time. There is a hunter. Surprise, surprise, I want a hunter after my World of Warcraft love. There's a titan, which is essentially, for those of you familiar with MMO, a tank, but a big beefy soldiery dude. Think Master Chief.
Slower,
tougher, bigger armor and stuff. And then there's a warlock, which is kind of your equivalent of a mage and a damage dealer. But very squishy, very Swift. Low armor, but fast and
weak
powerful.
Kind of like worms.
Yeah, kind of like worms. And so you pick these 3 classes, and then these classes, much like other games do, have subclasses. The first one for Hunter, at least, is called Gunslinger, which is what I am, because it's a more of the ranged class, because that's what I'm more comfortable with playing in a first-person shooter, more about snipers and all this kind of stuff. And then you have one called a Blade Dancer, which you unlock at level 15, which is very fast, very melee-focused for PvP. There is one for the Titan, which is your special ability is like you flying through the air and punching people and doing shoulder rams and being very damaged.
Oh, like the big dudes in Halo.
Yeah, almost like hunters. Yeah, you barge people and stuff. Yeah. Or, in classic MMO style, there is a tank option then where you create a big shield so you can revive your allies and do all this other stuff. I've never played a first person shooter before where class mattered so much. And that is a genuine compliment to this game. Like, I can't think of a higher level of praise is that they've actually introduced a class system to this game that matters in multiplayer, at least. I don't know how it'll affect raids, but for multiplayer, I can see clear differentiations in the choices I've made compared to other players. And that's a fucking huge thing. Yeah. Like, the very idea that I spec'd one type of grenade which does one thing, and like, I chose one way of doing a double jump over another way of doing a double jump that some people have. I can clearly see it.
Mm.
And that is a very nice thing, like this level of differentiation. I honestly, like, at this point in time, I'm a week into it almost, and I really like the game. I'm not going to talk about it more because I could go on about it for an hour. It could be a whole podcast in itself. I'll talk about it more next week, I think, because hopefully I'll have started a raid by then and I can talk about that aspect of it.
Well, just watching you play it, I can see it's a very competent first-person shooter, and I can see it's got a certain level of depth to it. If I was to have a critique of it, I'd say it isn't got the vibrance and personality of a game like Halo. In terms of, I'm thinking about some of the enemies at the Covenant and their different personalities and things like that.
They're there. Honestly, you've only seen me kill...
Do they behave differently, the enemies?
Yes, they do.
The aliens?
100%.
Because it's just so colourful and fun, a lot of the, and very unique personalities, each enemy in Halo.
There's...
And that's what one of the things I really like about Halo, and I wonder if they brought that.
Right, there's the Fallen, who are essentially the elites of Halo. If I'm going to do this, because they have different subclasses, like there's guys called Vandals who are essentially elites. They've even got the sidestep down.
Okay. Because I think that maybe the proof's in the playing then.
Yeah,
the fact that I haven't played it and I haven't experienced how these
there's enemies. Well, like I said, there's the Fallen, who are essentially like the elites and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's even a class that I can't remember who are essentially like grunts and jackals and stuff.
Yeah.
Then there is a race called the Hive, who are very alien. They kind of remind me a little bit of the Locust from Gears of War meets the Flood.
Okay.
And that they're very shiny. Flood. And they're kind of, they're zombie-like things, and they got, like, necromancers.
Oh, sure, yes, actually, I do remember them. Kind of they look quite interesting.
Then on the Venus, there are a race called the Vex, who are very much like, oh, god damn it, what are they What's called that? In Mass Effect?
You're asking the wrong
god,
person.
God, I can't remember. they're called Legions, one of them. The robots in Mass Effect. I can't remember the name of me. I'm going to kick myself until I remember that. But the robots in Mass Effect that I can't remember the name of, they are very much like the Vex in that they're all one mind together kind of thing.
Hive mind.
The Geth.
The Geth.
Yes. They're like the Geth in that they're these robot hive mind things. But they teleport around the level and... Some of their bigger enemies are very brawler-based, so they'll teleport right into you and you'll have to deal with that situation.
No, I'm interested now. And actually, I'm remembering certain things. So just a lot I've seen lately didn't seem that interesting.
No, it's just because I've been kind of grinding missions and wrecked and stuff to do this endgame content. And then there's also
the big tank was cool.
Yeah,
the spider tank that you fought.
And then there's also a group of enemy called the Cabal, who are essentially like brutes in Halo. They're big, tough motherfuckers. Mm. And it's kind of interesting because up until that point, I've been playing this Hunter, like I said, so it's all about guns and all about doing quick headshots and stuff. And then like I run into this mission with the Cabal because it's supposed to be for level 14s and I'm level 20 and I'm like, I'm going to fuck this up really fast and just complete the story. And I haven't, because of my Hunter status, I have a throwing knife which inflicts fire damage. Okay. And I'm used to like going around a multiplayer and going around and killing the Fallen and stuff by throwing my knife straight into something's head and then just dying, which is the most satisfying thing in the world, getting a headshot with a throwing knife.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, I can't, I was clapping. I'm quite surprised you knew me on Friday. I did it. I was like, fucking throw a knife into someone's head.
Yeah. Knives are fun.
They are.
In these sort of games.
In these sort of games.
I remember when they introduced knives into Call of Duty Black Ops, was it? Yeah. Throwing knives?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about them at that one time.
But I had this throwing knife and like a run of this Cabal dude, the first one he saw, and I was like, fuck you up. Threw my knife for him. I was like, I'm just going to melee him, he's dead. Like my knife hit him and did like 5 damage. I was like, what? He just punched me and killed me. I was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And then...
Big guys.
Yeah. The play, they definitely have different strategies. Okay. It's like if you fight the Vex, if you blow their heads off, that is naturally their weak spot. So you get used to aiming for the head, and then the heads go off, and they just kind of freak out and go a bit raged.
Ooh, a bit Dead Space.
She got to shoot them in the chest.
Yeah.
That's where their power core is.
Okay, well, this sounds intriguing. I'm very interested in the game.
It is a very good game.
And you seem to be enjoying it.
I'm
greatly.
Heavily enjoying it. Like, I said to Tom before this, and I actually kind of made no secret about it with my girlfriend. I was actually considering selling my PS4.
Which I was very surprised. I couldn't believe that Matthew would part with his beloved PS4. I know you have been disenchanted by the games that you've
I have, like,
so
I've
far.
Not played a game, and admittedly, I could have played Destiny on PS3 or Xbox 360, but my friends are on PS4, so I got it for that, and I'm glad I did, honestly, like, I didn't pre-order the silly limited edition like I did with Halo, like, I've got the bloody Reach statue, and I've got the Master Chief head, because I like Halo that much. I was like...
You've got the Reach statue?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. To my mum and dad's. I was just like, oh God, like, I don't want another, like, ghost. Like, yeah, it's going to be cool to have this little flashing version of Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, but since the Mario Kart blue shell, you've thought
better. I'd thought better of it before the blue shell, and then the blue shell came out, and I was like, yeah, I can get it, great, great, great. And, like, I've just kind of become a bit disillusioned with collecting things and stuff. Like, I bought so many games over the last couple of months. Yeah. That's just like, oh, well, I enjoy playing Game Boy games for the same reason you were talking about earlier. It's just, it's pure raw fun. Yeah. There's no complicatedness to it. And, like, I just kind of became disillusioned with games and how much stuff they were trying to sell me on top of everything else. And, like, I played Battlefield every Tuesday for the last year, and, like, I hated it for the most part until I got, like, 30 hours into it and actually had guns that I could use.
Yeah.
But this game, picked it up, played it, and loved it. Honestly, like, there are surprisingly big flaws in it, like the storyline, but to me, it's no different than any other Bungie game. Like, I've never really thought the story's been that incredibly strong anyway.
Mm.
It's just been a means to the end, so you can blow shit up, which it is in this as well, but it seems to have more depth. And honestly, like, it's kind of made me go, okay, Maybe there are new gameplay experiences. Maybe there are things to come this generation that will be different.
Did not the Silent Hill demo excite you?
It did.
The possibilities of a new survival horror atmospheric game. Like
it did. It also scared the shit out of me, though.
Yeah.
So,
but that, to me, was one of the few things I've seen so far next generation. Really made me think, oh, wow. So we're getting something
unparalleled in looks as well. Like, that game is truly made for the next gen with the Fox engine. It looks fantastic. But
you've got Metal Gear to come.
I don't care.
You don't care.
Rising kind of soured me on Metal Gear.
Yeah, but you played through Ground Zeroes.
I did play through Ground Zeroes, and I enjoyed Ground Zeroes, but it was still more of the same. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and this is more of the same. But I don't know. It's just
we're talking them fresh experiences.
I really like Halo, like, and I make no secret of that. Like, for as much as I give people who play Battlefield and Call of Duty shit, I really like Halo.
As do I.
Because
I like the setting. I like the fantasy angle.
Yeah, because, you know, there is this whole, like, oh, Halo's for, like, college dudes, and, like, everyone I talk to is American. Like, kind of hates Halo because it's what we perceive Call of Duty. To a lot of American friends of mine and yours. Like, it is this, like, dudes in a dorm room high-fiving and teabagging people and stuff. And I know that is a huge part of it, but, like, I played it with a small community of people who I used to play Phantasy Star Online with, and I had no better time online. Even, like, all the stuff I was saying about World of Warcraft and, like, this sense of accomplishment still wasn't as fun as playing Halo 2 to me. Mm. Like, getting, like, a level 45 ranking in Halo 2 was, like, something I really was proud of, and I really worked a long time with a lot of people who I really enjoy playing games with.
So Bungie are along the right lines here, expanding on what they created with Halo and opening that up and adding these massively multiplayer elements in this leveling...
I think people were quick to judge this game. I especially disagree with the Polygon review. I won't talk about it in length, but I think they're taking a very hipster-esque attitude towards this game and just kind of discarding it because it is a major studio release with a lot of money backed into it. Game sold half a million, like half a billion dollars worth of games.
Yeah.
this game will not be for everyone. Mm-hmm. There will be a lot of people who will not play this game and will drop off. There will be people who stay for the multiplayer and multiplayer alone, mm-hmm. but there's going to be people who are just going to drop off. Especially because there's no, like, Call of Duty, I'm going to play this game 50 hours, get a better gun than you, because the multiplayer at the moment kind of balances itself out. Yes, I still have all my abilities. Yes, I've got a gun with more ammo, mm-hmm, which is mm-hmm. a bit of a shit, actually. But I'm high level, so I don't really care. Like, most other people I seem to be playing with seem to be around the same level, so it's not really that much of a difference.
Yep.
And you can kill people as a level 1 if you're playing against level 20s. It's interesting. It's very interesting.
It sounds to me like this could potentially go the way of World of Warcraft and Bungie release expansions.
They're going to.
For Destiny.
100%. They've even dated them, the first two.
Okay. And expand on this world, because it was like it's something that's going to keep going, keep
evolving.
They've said
it's going to go for 10 years. Yeah. Like, they have very long...
This is just the basic, this is the introduction.
This is almost, I think, Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah.
Like, but obviously it's more fleshed out than that, there's more to it. But this is the proof of concept. This is the, we can make a successful, massively multiplayer online first-person shooter.
Which
Many
is
you've
unique
tried,
in itself, yes.
Like, Starhawk tried to do this kind of thing, and there was a few other PS3 games. It wasn't like there was supposed to be one huge one a couple of years back that did this kind of like, 100 people could play online at once. I can't remember what the hell it was called. But there's a few for the PS3 in the early days of the PS3 that were promising what this game has actually delivered.
Yeah.
My other critique, and the last one before we say goodbye, because this podcast is wrapping on a little bit before we get to our traditional what's coming out in the next week, is that the fire teams are a bit small. It's a bit annoying that I can only either play with 3 or 6 of my friends, whereas in Halo I could play with 12.
Oh yeah, okay.
And a lot of the multiplayer is based around fire teams of 3. Raids are going to be 6, but even Strike, which is story-based missions which get you better gear, is only 3, which is a bit shit. I'd prefer if they were done Strike missions as 6-player missions as well, but yeah, I guess they'll expand upon it.
Okay. Well, the future's bright for Destiny.
It is. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really looking forward to playing more of it. And I'm actually glad that I have a game now I can play on Tuesdays that I really fucking like. So.
And you persuaded Jakob to play that with you.
I'm not going to play Battlefield again. Honestly, I don't want to.
But he's got the game. He likes Destiny.
Yes, he likes Destiny. Okay. He also likes Battlefield way too much, though. Okay. So
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Releases. Next big release I could see, well, not so big, but Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution has been released on PC on the 16th.
Can you add any more adjectives to that?
I totally messed that up. On the 17th, you've got a game called Revolution. No, not Revolution. Sorry, Anomaly 2.
That sounds like Revolution.
No, it's because I was reading the end
the
of
worms,
the Ultimate Ninja.
God.
Anomaly 2. PS4, don't know what it is. This is how we do our new releases.
Yeah, you know that one? Nope.
Endless Legend for PC is released on the 18th. Also, it's Train Simulator 2015.
Yay! There's a lot of Train Simulator games for the Game Boy that I'm really excited to play.
That surprises me.
I know.
The 19th sees a game called Flockers being released on the PS4 and PC formats. This is a new game by Team 17.
Really?
It looks like Lemmings with sheep and very grisly death animations.
Okay, I'm
sheep
interested.
In mincers and
I'm
things.
Interested in that.
It looks like it could be a lot of fun. And it looks like the worms make a cameo in there as well. It's very stylistically in the same world.
Well, you know, they tried different things at some point, like Worms Golf.
Very exciting. Yeah, Worms Golf, very good. But to see a Team 17 game that wasn't Worms.
Yeah.
But then again, it's just like kind of like Lemmings. But anyway. That's released on, as I say, PS4, PC, and Xbox One. I'm sad it's not released on the other formats. Shame. Hyrule Warriors is the biggest release, I think,
this
week. That's released on Friday.
Are you going to buy that, Tom?
And no, I'm not going to buy it because I'm not a fan of that type of game.
I'm not going to buy it either.
Okay. we'll miss that one out. Nocturnal Doctrine...
Yes, it's a...
I feel like it should say Nocturnal, but it definitely says Nocturnal.
It's a game by Nis, for those of you who remember
us.
What?
You know, it's natural, isn't it? I've been reading the word natural as nat-ter-now.
What? Oh my god.
Oh my god. Natural.
You're English.
Natural doctrine.
This is your natural language.
That's crazy.
Wow, okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, you have that little interest in the game that you can't even be asked to read the title.
It's released on PS3, Vita and PS4. It's a strategy, real-time
It's a real-time strategy game by NIS, who are notorious for porting over...
We know what that is.
...shitty JRPGs.
But we don't know the difference between Nat Tural and Nat... Oh my God. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that's on a podcast that people can listen to. Theat Rhythm... That definitely says Theat, T-H-E-A-T, Rhythm. It's this strange title that this series has. Theat Rhythm, Final Fantasy, Curtain Call.
Yes.
I'm guessing a rhythm game, a sequel to the last
Theat.
One. Theat, yeah. Rhythm.
Yeah.
And it's for the 3DS, and that's also out on the 19th
okay.
of September.
I actually want to pick up the first one. That actually looked really good, really? And then I kind of forgot about it.
Okay. I like good rhythm game.
Yeah, it's supposed to be very good.
Okay.
Also, Final Fantasy music, you know, is set to none.
Pretty good.
Almost as good as Paul McCartney's song in Destiny.
You see, I'd left that as a very subtle hint with the David Bowie rock star
Everybody
comment.
Bloody knows.
It's very nice. Worth waiting till the end for.
It is, or of this podcast.
You can listen to it right after on the internet if you want.
You can. You should.
But it's very high profile collaboration.
Well, you know.
Mm. It elevates Destiny's themes, I think, to another level.
It does. Also
hope for the future.
Also explains how much they spent on that game. Probably half of that was on Paul McCartney.
You never know.
Right.
I don't know his charging rate at the minute.
Any more for any more?
That's it.
Okay, good times. Let's wrap up this podcast then. It's been a long one, but you know.
But it has to be.
You haven't listened to any of us for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Embrace mine and Tom's subtle tones. Embrace me not being able to pronounce words and the
me
same
not
for
being
Thomas.
Able to read and pronounce
yes.
the word natural.
It's a skill, Tom. Don't worry, you'll grasp it in time. For those of you who like reading things we say and not us saying them, you can go to our Twitter, which is at TMAcast, and you can read our tweets in 140 characters or less. I haven't really been that active on Twitter for the last couple of weeks, I'll be honest.
We have both been exceedingly busy.
We have, and I've been doing the Game Boy stuff as well, which will return next week, I think. I'm kind of taking a bit of a break for it at the moment because Destiny's eating all my time, and I need that game.
It's so
Mama
funny
needs my
how
fix.
Your priorities yeah. have changed.
I know. And, yeah, I will be tweeting more. I still think, even though there were one or two people who were like, we talk to you, like, I've sent out a few things and just been like, hey, where's Destiny on PS4? Nothing. Like, 1,555 Twitter followers. Nada. No response. Oh. Like, one or two people, like, 2 days later were like, oh, yeah, I've got it. And I've
well,
added those now.
Some replies.
But, like, it used to be instantaneous, Tom. I don't know what's going on. Like, oh, we are you falling out of love with us? Are you breaking up with
Show
us?
Show us some love on Twitter or our Facebook or...
Yeah, Facebook. Facebook.com/ Tom and Matt Attack. You can also leave a comment on blastprocess.com, our father site where we host this podcast. Check out our other things.
Stuff going on over there.
There is, yeah.
Nice review of the Smash Bros. Demo, which
Indeed.
I briefly mentioned.
We were reading it before this podcast. Yeah, Go have a look.
Yeah.
You can also find us in iTunes where you can leave a review if you really want. And you can also find us in Stitcher. Yeah, tell other people about this podcast if you think they'd be interested. Say, I'm not sure about getting Destiny, and then you can say to that person, like, well, actually, you can listen to the latest.
Have a listen to Matt enthusing about it for half an hour.
This man will sell you on Destiny. Activision, check in the mail, please. And until next time,
oh,
guys.
Oh, yeah, the little news about myself.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Minecraft.
We haven't talked about that. We'll talk about it in length next week. But those of you who don't know, I assume everyone will by the time they hear this, that Microsoft has purchased Mojang for $2.5 billion.
Oh, can you say a cool $2.5 billion?
You can say a cool $2.5 billion. It's $2.5 billion, pretty cool number.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in length next time, but just for perspective, Disney bought Star Wars from Lucas for $4
billion. Okay.
A lot of fucking money.
It is a lot of money.
Yeah, but then again, how much money have they made from Minecraft? We'll find out, and we'll talk about it on next week's podcast, or this week's podcast, technically, because it'll be out Sunday. Until then, guys, game on.
Game on.